Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Pastor C, we are in the Sanctuary Studio in Orrsville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line tonight on a rainy night in DMV. Thank God, amen, that he has been our shelter in the time of storm. And I know it looks like going into Christmas weekend, there's going to be some very inclement weather coming the East Coast, all over the Midwest, and everybody's going to be hunkered down and trying to get through the storm as they try to visit and do their traditional holiday functions. But we thank God that he truly is our shelter in the time of storm, and we know that we can lean and depend on him, Sheila G.
Amen. Yes, he truly is our shelter in the time of storm, and even in the joyous times, he's still sheltering us, because sometimes we get comfortable in ourselves and don't see that storm coming. But he prepares us for it.
Amen. Well, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we'll be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's the thing about the storms of life. And we talked about this all through, you know, studying the word, is that you know the storms are going to be coming. And that's one of the things we were talking about on last week, that the same trials and tribulations that Jesus went through in his earthly journey, the same thing Paul's going through in his earthly journey, and it's the same thing that we go through in our earthly journey is the trials and the tribulations. And again, we said on last week that, you know, God never promised that the weapons wouldn't be formed and used. All he said is he promised us that he'll fight our battles and that he would be more for us than the world against us, and that no weapon formed against us would prosper. and that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so those are the promises that we had with God. And so as we go through our various challenges, we have to learn to stand on the word of God and learn how to put on that spiritual warfare, whole armor of God, that in the time of that spiritual warfare, that we can be prepared. And it's just like that storm that's coming. People are talking about this is a record storm, and you know, every time storms come, there's predictions of this and that, and even our president was telling people, the storm is coming, you need to leave now. And so when you know the storms are coming, you need to be prepared. And you know, we were talking about that, the intermittent wipers on the car last week. And you need to know the word of God, because the enemy is going to come and try to come at you. And,
right.
And Sheila G., I'm reminded of how when Jesus began his earthly ministry, how Satan, after he had fasted 40 days in the wilderness, Satan came and tempted him and said, if you be the Son of God, you know, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus was prepared because he was the word, and he knew the word, and he used the word in that attack. And he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And the enemy, you know, kept coming at him, came an additional couple of times at him. And Jesus used the word of God. He was quoting scripture from the book of Deuteronomy, and he was using the word, and also from the book of Psalms, he was using the word. And what happened is the devil left him. The Bible says left him for a season. In other words, he knew the storms were coming again. So just like the storms that are coming this week, we know there's going to be some more storms coming the following week, or all through the winter season there'll be storms. But if you're prepared, you'll know where your shovel is, you know where your ice melt is, you know you got fluid in your windshield wiper, you know how to maneuver in the snow and all these things. You're prepared. And so the Christian, we have this whole armor of God, the spiritual warfare, where we can stay prepared and go into life with preparation, knowing that these challenges are going to come. And again, God didn't promise that the challenges weren't going to come, but he just promised he'd be with you. And so we have to be ready for times of storm. And we see Paul here is standing on the truth. That was our question on last week, is how do you stand on the truth in the midst of the lies? And so in order to stand on the truth in the midst of the lies, and we see this court appearances that Paul is going through, is Paul knows God. He has a personal relationship with God. And when the storms of life come, and you were saying last week, Sheila, that you won't compromise. You don't have to compromise because you know the truth. And you know that you can stand on the truth because of your past victories, as you say, Sheila G., that you know that God will come through and that you can stand on the truth. Sheila G.
Amen. And, you know, as you're we're talking about this, as far as storms and it being in God's word, how to deal with the storms, I think that sometimes as churches and the church leaders, we do not lead our young Christians, those that are young in their journey with Christ, whether they be old in age or not, to tell them that just because you're saved doesn't mean that life is going to be wonderful. And because we don't do that, then as soon as something happens, they have this mindset, well, wait a minute, I gave my life to Christ. Why am I still going through challenges? And by us putting on this front that nobody, I remember years ago in the church, they would say, nobody bothers me, or I don't worry about anything, or I don't feel it. God's got it all. That is true, but it's a growing thing. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to get knocked down. That doesn't mean that you aren't going to weep for a night. But it means that if you learn God's word, if you learn about God, if you grow in your relationship with him, you can suffer and process through and pray your way through. But I think too often as a church, we want to sugarcoat it and make it seem like, okay, all you're going through, all this bad stuff because your life is not right with Christ, that may be true. But even if you have caused some of the things and you're suffering consequences for what you've done, if you had that relationship and study God's word, you know he forgave you for that. But he will give you the tools to get you out of it. But I think, like way back when they had the prosperity churches, and even now, we don't allow people to be upset, to feel that pain, and understand that that's how your faith grows. You grow through the storm, so be ready for it. You know, Pastor always says when somebody gives their life to Christ, they're like, okay, now the devil's mad. He's going to come at you and tell people that so that they won't be disillusioned into thinking that now I'm saved, now I've given my life to Christ, so now nothing's going to happen to me. No, things will be happen to you either as a consequence or a test, so that you can grow in your relationship with God. And that's where we got to meet people where they are and not them to be, expect them to be at the same level and teach them how to weather the storm.
Amen, amen. That's good stuff. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah. She was talking, you know, too often. I think, you know, we give people false hope. You know, we make it appear, as she was saying, that, you know, once you are saved, that you're never going to have any problems. And that's the, you know, it's farthest from the truth. I shared with folks that that's just the beginning of what you're going to go through. But the key, again, as you said earlier, is to have that personal relationship with the Lord. I mean, the Lord, Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end." So if you know that you've got Christ with you, then you can handle every situation that comes along. And, you know, the story of Jesus being tempted is the perfect example. Now, if the devil will tempt Jesus, what do we think he's going to do to us? And, you know, now that he's and when you look at what's going on, too many people are falling away from the Lord rather than drawing to him. They need to understand. I tell folks, look, I need the Lord in my life every day. But that's out of growth because I've gone through stuff in my life, and the Lord is the only one that can bring me through.
Amen, amen. And in that example, I want to go back to that example. What you said, Dr. G, is once you start living a saved life, you start ministering, that's when the devil is going to try to knock you off. And so if you go back and see the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, in other words, after he was baptized by John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and, you know, that's where the Trinity was, where the Father was there, the Son was there, and the Holy Spirit was there. And then there was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." And so when we get saved and we get prepared for ministry, God is pleased with us. The enemy's mad at us. And so anytime you're going to start ministry or you're going to start doing something for the Lord or you change your life, the enemy is going to try to attack you. So I wanted to go back and look at it in Matthew, the third chapter of Matthew. And right after Jesus got baptized, if you look at Matthew, the third chapter, and begin at verse 15, and we'll see, you know, Jesus is getting ready for his earthly ministry. It says, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." And verse 16 says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So here you have the Father, here you have the Son, and here you have the Holy Spirit. You have the triune God getting the Son ready for earthly ministry, and that he will fulfill the prophecy, and he is prepared to do earthly ministry. And the first thing, Sheila G, that tries and tests him is Satan. So if you look at chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, I'm reading out of the King James Version, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." So right away, oh my God, as he begins his earthly ministry, he's led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And in other words, this is the tactic of the enemy, and this is the testing of the saints. And so you always have a tactic of the enemy that tries to stop the saints from doing the word or doing the will of God, fulfilling the will of God. And so you have the tactic, and then you have the testing. And so here we see Jesus being tested. And like Dr. G said, he's gone through some tests. He's gone through and he's grown. He has some experiences. And so let's look at what happened in verse 2 of this chapter 4, verse 2. It says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And so his physical body, his spiritual body was intact to do the ministry, the earthly ministry, but his physical body was still his physical body, and we still live in our physical bodies. And so he was hungry, and he had fasted, and the flesh was jumping back. And a lot of times in ministry, the flesh will get to a place where it's tested, and it doesn't want to do what the Spirit says. That's why the fasting and the prayer is important, because the flesh is going to do what it wants to do. It wants to rebel. It's against the flesh to do the will of God. The flesh wants to do its own thing, and the Spirit has to be on board to be able to tell the flesh that we're going to do what the Spirit says. So he was hungry. And so Satan knows this, and this is his tactic to come at you when your flesh is weak. And he says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. In other words, Satan knows Jesus knows he's the Son of God, but he also knows that he's in this earthly body and he's hungry. So he's going to come at him and say, if you are the Son of God, and I know you're hungry, and the enemy knows your weaknesses in the flesh. He says, I know you're hungry. you know, and you got the power. And if you're the Son of God, make these stones be made of bread. But Jesus spiritually was able to stand up to this test and able to, by the Spirit, overcome the temptation or the weakness of the flesh with the Spirit. And he said to him, like you said, Dr. G, he was prepared. He had the word. And so the word that he used comes from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 3. And he put it together and he presented it to Satan this way in verse 4. He said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we say to ourselves, okay, well, he used the word of God. He's good. And what we know is sometimes, Sheila G., things go from bad to worse before they get better. And so Satan didn't leave him alone after the first test. And I think sometimes when we get beat down, and we really get beat down, it's like Jesus went from judgment hall to judgment hall, Paul's going from judgment hall to judgment hall. There's time in our lives where we go, and you like, really? It went from bad, it went from terrible, it went to worse. And it's like back to back to back, sort of like when Job went through his thing, his kids got killed, his cattle got killed, his flesh got messed up. But he said his wife got ugly with him and told him curse God and die. But he said, the Lord gave and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he didn't sin, even though his flesh, his finances, and his family were used to try to get him to turn against God. And here Satan will come at you back to back to back. And so here the response of Satan and his tactic in verse 5, he says, then the devil taking him up into a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. See, Satan has power, but he doesn't have all power. So he can present you tangible things if you just bow your knee. And in verse 6, he says, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. And this is what I always share with people. The devil know the word of God. he knows the word of God. And so it would behoove us that we would know it too and know how to apply it. And so what Satan will do, just like he did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when God told Adam, don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, because in the day you eat of it, you should surely die. Satan told his wife that God, you won't surely die. In other words, God's lying, and you go ahead and eat of that thing. So we have to know the word of God, and we have to be led by the Spirit. Otherwise, we'll believe the lie. And so in verse 8, verse 6, it says, and said unto me, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. So he's using the word. He said, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And so Jesus' response, again, it wasn't in the flesh, but he quoted Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 16. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so the second wave came, and Jesus used the word of God. So the enemy's tactics and Jesus' relationship with the word of God and the Spirit was able to stand again. And then in verse 8, it says again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom and the glory of them. In other words, the enemy, again, has the ability to present to our flesh, to present while we're weak, to come after us time after time again. And so what we have to do is we have to use the word of God and we have to use the Spirit of God. And in verse 9, Jesus using the word again, and he says, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou will fall down and worship me. And so he's giving the easy way out. He's giving Jesus the easy way out. He doesn't want him to do this earthly ministry. He wants to keep questioning him. But Jesus uses the word of God, and that's the same thing with us. Yeah, the devil wants to give us the easy way out in the flesh,
yep,
because he knows that if we walk by faith and we stand on the word of God, ultimately he loses, and he doesn't
right.
he doesn't allow his tactics to overcome the prophecy or the will of God. And so in verse, I'm going to get to the verse. Verse 10, he says, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so again, he quoted Deuteronomy 6, chapter verse 13. And so Jesus used the word of God, the Spirit of God, his obedience and faith in God, his obedience and faith in the word of God to overcome the attack of the enemy. And this is the point where we see that God says that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So if we look at verse 11, it says, then the devil leaveth him alone, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And so the thing is, if we can stand on the word of God, God knows our condition. He knows how weak we are. He knows our mindset. He knows what we're going through. But if we have that relationship with God and we stand on the word of God, God will truly cause the enemy to flee. He'll have to leave. And then God will minister to us. And in other words, when we're wounded, when we're bruised, when we're battered, after we've gone through the test, God will come in. God will heal. God will deliver. He will prepare you to be able to stand and fight another battle, because he understands in our flesh that we can only bear and only take so much. But God won't allow anything more on us than we can bear. So this is the example of knowing the word, relying on the Spirit, relying on our faith, and trusting God that God will give us what we need in the midst of the storm, as long as we're standing on that truth in the midst of the lies. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's why we need to know the truth. That's why we need Sunday school. That's why we need Bible study. That's why we need our own devotional time. Because just like when we're praying to God and asking us to give us peace and give us strength, we have to be able to call the devil out. And you can't call the devil out if you are not strong spiritually. As you were talking about and how he was speaking in his flesh, in his body, he was weak, but he was bold in his attack and his going after Satan. And sometimes you do literally have to say, get behind me, Satan. You're under my feet. Get back, devil. I literally say it. Because I am a child of God. Get your hands off my children. Get my what is for me. When you're putting that doubt that, okay, you really should have got that promotion, but they're giving it to other person, and that spirit of jealousy comes up. It's like, no. These are just people. If this is what God wants me to have, he's going to lead me, guide me, direct me on how to get it. If it's not, then he must have something else for me. And I even remember when Mom would call the devil out, when he would be at, when everything is one time, she opened up the door and got a broom. and swept them out because everything was chaos all over the place. And she said, mm-mm, I'm going to sweep them out of here. You got to go. But you can't do that unless you are standing on the promises of God and you have that confidence. It's kind of like you can't pass a test in school if you don't study. And if you study, then you go to take that test, you have the confidence that you're going to pass it. And that's how it is. We have to study God's word, knowing that it's going to be a test and it's going to be a challenge. But if we understand God, if we have our own devotional time, if we have our prayer, if we understand if Satan tempted Jesus, he's going to do it to us. But Jesus is within us, but we have to develop that relationship.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G.
Well, both of you have said a mouthful, but again, the key, and that's why I keep drilling it, we have to develop that relationship. We must have a personal relationship with the Lord. Then we'll be able to withstand all of the fiery darts that that rascal sends. But without that relationship, without that one-on-one relationship with the Lord, you know, we're helpless. Because, you know, turning him on when we're going through stuff and then turning him off after we've gotten, you know, that's not the way to have life. I mean, Jesus said, I came that you might have life, but have it more abundant. Mm-hmm. Well, abundant life means you take the good with the bad.
Amen, amen. And so that's what Paul is standing on. That's what Jesus stood on. This is what we have to stand on, because the tests and the storms of life are coming, and you have to understand when it's cold outside, it's cold. You can't name it and claim it and go outside and talk about it ain't cold outside. It's cold. It's snowing. It's raining. It's miserable outside, but that doesn't negate the fact that my father said that he's going to take care of me. Amen.
Right.
And so that's the reality of it is when he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He didn't say that it was going to be an easy journey,
right?
But he said he was going to be there with you.
Right.
And so, you know, you go through these things. Like, Father, it's a blizzard right now. It's snowing outside. It's cold right now. But according to your words, you say you never leave me nor forsake me. You'll be with me. And so as I wipe the snow off this car, as I put these socks on my feet and my gloves and my hat and my mittens, I know you're going to help me to make it through.
Yes.
Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And like you said, if nothing, the way that we know it is because he's done it before. We can even look back on times where we weren't as close to Christ as we are now, but when you look back, you know, we look forward to understand backwards. You're like, there was nobody but God that brought me through that. There was nobody but God that kept me from getting that because I see that person that has that job now, and it's hell to pay. That was nobody but God that had me turn down this street or had me be late for work.
That's right.
Because I would have been in an accident. So it's like the little God winks, the little things that we can still rely on. So it's not a thing that we're just saying, I know you're with me always. We believe it because we've lived it. And the more you live it, the more been through, and you look and you're like, there's nobody but God, that's the more confidence that you have as you grow. You got to put that word in you every single day. Like Pastor said, you can't, when you're going through, call on the Lord, and then as soon as he brings you through, go on and do your own thing. That's not how you develop a relationship. You know, you wouldn't keep a friend, you wouldn't keep a husband or wife or anybody if you do drop in. It's like, I'm only going to call you up when I'm going through, and then once I get through, I don't want to be bothered. Then that relationship's not going to last. It's not going to grow. You're not going to grow together. But when you have that relationship, you recognize when it's nobody but God that brought you through that, and then you have that testimony instead of the testimonies where you whining and crying and complaining. If you have a testimony saying, I went through the storm, but God brought me through, I'm not going to focus on the negativity. And that's really where I am in my life now. I just don't have a lot of tolerance for complaining, whining, and everything's not right. I am a half-full kind of girl because I know what God has brought me through. And negativity is there. It's going to be there. So you may give God the glory and say, okay, I don't like this situation, but I'm going to thank the Lord anyway. To God be the glory, because I know that whatever situation I am, I don't have the power to fix it, but God does, and he's going to bring me through. And how can I share that? And that's why I say we do a disservice to people, because sometimes we're the only Bible they'll see. And if they see us constantly whining and complaining about this, that, and the other, because it's raining out or because I got to go through this or people won't act right, don't worry about people not acting right. God will handle your business, and we need to continue to get lemons out of our mouths, give God the glory, develop our relationship, stop being a do-drop-in Christian, and just be happy and joyous in the Lord.
Amen, amen. That's the key is having that relationship and doing what he says. And you know, when Jesus was getting ready to go into his earthly ministry, The enemy tested him with his tactics, but God, he stood on the word of God, used the Holy Spirit. And God, when you beat up and you beat down, God came and ministered to him. And that's the same thing with Paul in that verse 11 in chapter 23, where Paul smacked the man and he got punched in the, when Paul said something, he got punched in the mouth. And God told him, look, this ain't the end. You know, I was with you in Jerusalem. I'm going to be with you in Rome. And that verse 11 in chapter Matthew chapter 4, God sent angels to minister to Jesus after he took the beat down from Satan. And so that relationship is, you know, you'll live. You might be beat up, but God will come in and see about you. And so, you know, we have to have that understanding that it's not always going to be peaches and cream. Sometimes you're going to get frustrated. Sometimes you're going to feel beat down and know that it's a test. It's a test. And you have to have the preparation that when it comes, you can handle the test. And it's something when you have that relationship and you can look back and you can understand and you can see it, that gives you the strength. But Jesus, when he was on his way to Calvary's cross, and I'm not going to preach now. Dr. D, feel like I'm getting ready to go to the cross. I'm not going to preach. I felt my help coming. Lord have mercy. when he went to Calvary's cross, come on now. And they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. And he never said a mumbling word. Why? Because he knew, good God Almighty, that he stood on the word of God. And he can reflect back, I believe it was some 3.5 years of his earthly ministry, but he could go back to that day of his baptism. Come on now. When the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Holy Ghost came upon him. And Satan came and attacked him. And he can remember when he was getting ready to go to Calvary's cross. On the hill, somebody said, far away stood an old rugged cross. So you can face the old rugged cross. And you can face the judgment hall. Judgment hall. You can face the crown of thorns being placed on his head. They put nails in his hand and nails in his feet, and they raised him high and stretched him wide. And the only way that Jesus on the cross didn't say a mumbling word, but he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because he understood the God of salvation, the God that helped him in his time of fasting and praying. And when he was tempted by the devil, not one time, not two times, but three times, he said, it is written. And he realized that the word of God, who was the word of God alive, was able to stand on the word of God and trust God, his Father, for the victory. I'm not going to preach, Dr. G. Help me out.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I'm sitting there listening to you and thinking about, you know, really, you know, it's all by grace. That's the beauty of having that relationship with the Lord. You know, there's a song that says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins. And, you know, Jesus will be that friend. God will be right there with you. But again, you've got to know who your friend is. You've got to know who the problem solver is. You've got to know that God will be right there with you every step of the way. But, you know, we live in a time where, like, you know, we've said many a time before, people want this instant, you know, everything, the instant soup, everything microwave. And when they pray, they want trouble to leave right then and there. But again, they need to go back to the story of Christ. Not one, and they said not twice, but three times, Satan came and tempted him. Now, if the devil is going to do that with Jesus, and he was the Son of God, what makes us think that we're going to be any different? You know, but our faith in him and the fact that we still trust and believe in him, you know, take that word, take the scriptures that make a difference in your life. You know, for me, I believe I can do all things through Christ. But again, it's the word. And until people understand, got to get that word in them, they're never going to have the victory like they should.
Amen, amen. It's important, and so we track all that back to say that as Paul is coming to the end of his earthly ministry, he's going and testifying like Jesus told him that he would go from Jerusalem to Rome, and in that chapter 23, verse 11, where Jesus told him that you're going to get to Rome, he understood that God was taking him to a place where God's will would be done, and that God knew what was best for him, and that God's will needed to be done. He went there and he endured these trials. He endured the injustices, and sometimes it doesn't seem like it's fair, but it's something to have to stand on the truth in the midst of the lies, even when it's not fair. And God has given us enough victories and enough experiences in our relationship with him that even when it's not fair, we can still stand on the truth and be faithful. That is the theme of the ministry of Jesus Christ, the gospel, because of what you said, it's by grace. And grace is unmerited favor. In other words, you don't deserve it, but you get it anyway. And so it's by grace that we're saved through faith. And so the grace takes over for the test. The grace takes over for the lies. The grace takes over for the abuse and the misuse. The grace steps in. And, you know, Paul at one point had a thorn in the flesh, and he requested that God remove that thorn, and God reminded him that hey, don't rely on the flesh, but my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I'll give you enough grace that even when you're going through the pain, Lord have mercy, and even when you're going through the trial and the struggle and the misuse and abuse and the lies and the schemes, that if you stand on the word of God, God will bring you through, and that his grace will give you the strength, like Dr. G said, to do all things through Christ that will give you the strength. And when you have that history and you have that relationship and you have the Holy Spirit on board and you seen that you can stand and rely on your faith in God and his grace, you're able to get from the earthly ministry in the wilderness to Calvary's cross. You're able to get from the trial in Jerusalem to the trial in Rome. You're able to go through the ugly stuff in your life, on your job, in your family, or wherever, in the church, because of your relationship with God. And it's so important to reflect and go back. And I have sometimes the people say, well, it's the same old word you preaching, or you teaching the same old word. And say, yeah, because that's the same old word I'm going to need, because the enemy is going to try the same old tactic. And people look at me like I'm crazy, like, what are you talking about? Say, yep, that's the same old word. Same old Bible, because the enemy is going to use the same old tactic that he used with Jesus. And what did Jesus use to overcome that test. He used the word of God, and they look at me like I'm crazy, but it's boring. It's the same word. It's like, well, enemy don't care if it's boring. He just wants your butt to fall down and be miserable. He don't want you to have the abundant life that Dr. G talked about. So whatever he does, he kick your butt because you don't want to hear and listen to the same old word. You don't want to hear the same old preacher. You don't want to hear the same old Sunday school or Bible study. That's fine because the enemy's dependent on you not wanting to have that. So when he comes and kicks your behind, Lord have mercy. It would behoove you to go back to that same old word. Jesus went back to that same old Deuteronomy and quoted from it three times. And said eventually Satan left him alone. Sheila G. Help me out, Sheila G.
Well, that's why the theme that you gave for this Bible study was there's nothing new under the sun. So I don't know what new you're looking for. It's the same thing. The first century church, the 21st century church, the whole time that God, during this whole Bible study, God kept taking to my mind that scripture about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that renewing of your mind is knowing God's word. Wanting things to be all different and changed, that's conforming, that's compromising to be like the world. You know, the world tells us that life's supposed to be all exciting. You're supposed to do whatever you have to do to please your fleshly body, to please your fleshly feelings and your emotions. But God is telling you, no, you got to put your mind made up and put your war clothes on and be trusting in God every single day. Fill your mind with godly things. Think on, it's in Philippians where it talks about, think on these things, whatsoever is positive, whatsoever is so good, whatsoever is lovely.
That's right.
Put that in your mind instead of putting all the stuff of the world, because the world, like Satan, is telling you that the world's supposed to be all wonderful and like a box of chocolates. So if you're not getting fulfilled and made happy here, then try this and then try that and try this and try that. Next thing you know, you're so far away from the Lord that you're in somebody's bottle someplace or in somebody someplace else or doing something you know you have no business doing, trying to fulfill that void. And you won't fulfill that void until you constantly pull away from the worldly things and transform your mind by learning and growing in relationship with God.
Amen, amen. And that is from your very small childhood to your last year. I tell people, you get older. Sometimes people get older and they say, well, the Lord's not going to use me anymore and this and that. And that. No, this is a constant thing. It's a lifelong thing. This is a lifelong journey with God, and so your relationship grows stronger with God. So I tell people, even in your old age, whether you're one or 100, God can still use you. I was going through the Christmas story when Simeon and I forget the prophetess name. I can't remember her name. Amen. They were working in the temple. I believe it was Anna. I can't remember it, But when Jesus, his parents came in to dedicate him, amen, they had been ministering this whole period of time. And so after they seen Christ, that's when they said, we've seen your promise. And until that fulfillment of that last moment that was designed for them, they were still ministering. They were still working for God. And once they saw him, they said, well, we've seen your ministry now. Now, God, you can take us home. And so until God is ready for you to fulfill your last part of your earthly ministry, you got to keep ministering. You got to keep ministering. You got to keep encouraging. So from 1 to 100, you know, you still have validity. You still have a purpose. You still have life to be able to minister. So wherever you are, and he trying to tell these young ministers or old ministers, Dr. G, don't give up. You know, don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. You know, just because you think that ministry's not going the way you want it to go, you won't quit and sit down on God. You know, God didn't sit down on you after that first temptation, that second temptation, that third temptation, the trial from judgment hall to judgment hall, the walk up Golgotha's hill with his Christ. With his cross, you know, every man got to bear his own cross. And the old song said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you and me. And so we all have to bear that cross. We all have to bear that burden. Now, ministry and living as a Christian is not an easy thing, but it's a thing where God will reward you for your faith. He honors our faith. And so it was Simeon. I can't remember that lady's name. She was a prophetess in the temple. I'm going to get it, though. If I don't get it tonight, I'm going to get it next week, Lord willing. But they ministered, and then when Jesus was dedicated, they saw the fulfillment of the word of God in their old age. And so keep ministering. I don't care how old you are. Keep ministering. I don't care how the test is or how frustrating it may be. Keep using the word of God. Don't get caught up in the new fad or form, or people say that's old school or that's the old tradition, or we don't do it that way. If it was good enough for Jesus, Lord have mercy, to go back to the Old Testament and quote the old scripture of Deuteronomy, it's good enough for us. And you know, you often laugh. You're like, well, what are they looking for? You know, they're looking for that itchy ears, always wanting to hear, but never learning. You always want to get something new, the latest thing. Oh, that's that old church, that's that this. They don't do it like this. Hey, we ain't going there. That's boring, blah, blah, blah. All right, well, Satan using the same old trick to kick your butt. He don't care how boring it is, whether it's the first century or the 21st century. He's going to show you the things of the world and say, bow down to me, and I'll give you all of this. Even though he's writing a check that his butt can't cash, he's still going to write it. And you're going to take it, and you're going to try to cash it, and that thing going to go boring. You're going to like, oh, my God, what happened? That joker's going to bounce that check because he can talk a good game. Amen. But he can't follow through because he doesn't have that power. He doesn't have that clout. He doesn't have that. He has power, and he has the ability to manipulate and run that mouth. But only God, amen, is the creator. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness what thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood. He said, who shall enter into the hill of the Lord but he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully? He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And then the question is asked, who is this King of glory? Just like Satan asked Jesus, if you be the Son of God. So who is this King of glory in Psalm 24? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even be them lifted up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So we have to continue to lift up the word of God, looked up the King of glory, realized the earth is his, and no matter what, the enemy will try to come and perpetrate a fraud and present us. We can go back to that word, and we can stand on that word of God, and we can have that blessed assurance that God will do exactly what he said he was going to do. And in the midst of the lies and Acts chapter 24, what we were studying, when this lawyer Tertullus came and presented his case before Felix, Paul was able to stand and on the truth. He was able to be ushered safely from place to place, even though he was in captivity. He was able to stand his ground and be heard and know without a shadow of a doubt that even though he was called a troublemaker, even though he was accused of stirring up trouble, even though he was accused of being a ringleader of the Nazarene sect, and even though he was accused of desecrating the temple, and even though he was seized, even though he was doing things in peace and in quiet, and even though he was doing all these things, they accused him. And after all these accusations, he was able to speak, and he was able to testify about what God had did. And when you understand the history of those who have gone through as Jesus went through, as Paul went through, as your mother, your father, your grandfather, all of those people have gone through, and you see how their faith guided them all their lives, then we have that example. I believe it's the book in Hebrews that says there's I call it the hall of faith. We're encircled around by people who are faithful, and we can draw on their steadfastness, their faithfulness, to be able to get through our time of earthly ministry and time of testing. But we got to stay in that word. Wow, where did time go? Oh, my gosh, I'm running my mouth. but when you have that history with God, you can continue to minister and carry on a ministry. So history helps you develop and carry in ministry. So history and ministry go hand in hand. Shield G.
Amen, amen. And as you were talking about that, Paul being captivity with man, he was in captivity by man, and even when Jesus was attacked by man, but you still have the love of God, and that gives you the freedom. And that's why whenever we're persecuted by man, or when I've talked to people, administer people, and they're under stress or they're being attacked by whatever's going on, job, home, out in the store, whatever, that is man, I will tell them they're just people. So they're just people, but God's love gives you that freedom that when you may be in captivity by man, but man is just man. Man is nothing. But you can continue to go through and grow stronger because God, you're free in the spirit. So internally, spiritually, man may think he got you, but God got you. So you can endure what you're going through because of the love of God. And you say that, you know, nobody else loves me. God loves me. And I know he loves me because he's given me that grace for my place. So my place may be difficult right now, and man may think that he's got me. Man may think that he has the upper hand or they're winning or whatever the situation, that weapon may be coming and may have me captive from a human or earthly standpoint, but spiritually I am free. And because I have that freeness in my heart, I can renew my mind and I can get through because God loves me. God is love. God is love. And his love is what will get me through.
Amen, amen. We're going to go to the phone lines. But we'll just ask that question the testing in your ministry, how history has helped you in ministry, your history with God. How has your history with God helped you in your ministry for God? How has your history with God helped you with your ministry for God? We're going to go to the phone line. You got a first caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
The testing that I've gone through has helped me a lot. It helped me to trust God and to trust his word. And sometimes you might get to be a little bit doubtful or fearful, but you pull back on your past memories and you remember what God has done for you. God is he's a strong tower, and he will help you. He will make a way for you. But you have to just continue to trust him, even through the good times and through the bad times. And like you all been saying, that he's going to be with us. You know, we're going to have some trials. We're going to have some tribulations down here. We're going to go through some suffering down here. And as I go through that, it helps me to grow. It helps me to trust God more. It helps me to have a better relationship with him. And so I feel like the more spiritually I grow. Sometimes the more testing I go through. But that's good, too, because that helped me to grow in grace. That let me know I can't depend on myself, but I have to depend on God to get me through this. So I thank God for the good days. I thank him for the bad days. I thank him for the trials and the tribulations. I thank him for the joy because I know he's going to bring me through. And he has not failed me. It's almost 76 years. He's been with me, and he's not going to leave me now. He's going to continue to be my way maker. And I've seen the time when I was working, and I often think about when I was working, I depended on myself to a certain degree for a lot of things. I thought that I did what I did, but once I retired, I began to realize how much I truly needed the Lord and how much I depended on him. And I was in situations that I knew it wasn't nobody but God that brought me through and made a way for me. And he allowed me to be, you know, even though it could have been better, he allowed me to just get in that situation, be there, because I want you to see my power. I want you to know what I can do. And so I trust God for that. He's good. He's never going to make a mistake in our life. If we put our hands in his, he's going to see us through. God will never fail us. He will do the impossible with us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony. Tonight, I'm going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening.
Good evening. My recent trials have shown me that, first off, don't play with the Lord's words. And second off, the Lord's words are very, very true. And I now have so much more faith, and I stand on his word so hard now that it's like nobody can make me see different. Nobody.
Amen.
And I have so much the Lord for that, because I needed that in my life, and I just prayed to him for that. And, you know, I have people coming and telling me, you know, questioning the Lord's word, and I'm like, okay, there's no question about it, because I am living it. I'm living it, you know. I've been reading it, and I'm holding true to it, and no matter what happens, I'm going to believe it.
Amen.
Amen.
And thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's so good. It's so good to say this, but I had a problem just a week ago, and it happened, and I was just wondering how I was going to get out of this problem. I really did. And good Lord just got a hold, snapped me, and just grabbed me by my hand and told me, I got you. And his tears was in my eyes, and I didn't know what the heck was saying. I said, that's all right. And just soon as I praised the good Lord and said, thank you, God, he's got me out of this thing and got me on my feet again. No sooner I said it, the devil said, I'll fix you. Soon as I started walking down the steps to empty garbage at the house, he put a step and tripped me and fell me, and I fell into a puddle of water. And I couldn't get by the water. And I stood there and I called God. And God, I just barely got up and got on my knees so I could get up. When I got up and I prayed the Lord so much, and he just got, the devil just got mad at me and just kept on kicking me and, you know, I was so glad that I had God. I'm just tired of with my talk. Please forgive me. I'm so happy God.
That's all right.
I say something on God and I get mad at him and he turned me around. He just make me look like he just set me right on my feet and said, I got you. Go ahead, boy. I love God. God ain't go no further than me. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord for that. And Merry Christmas, everybody. Praise the Lord.
Merry Christmas. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1411. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. Could you all repeat the question, sir?
Yes, yes. How has your history with God helped you with your ministry for God?
Good question. Well, currently, I believe my ministry is in the music ministry, so I'll kind of start there. But, you know, my history with God has taught me patience. We are always a work in progress. Things are not going to happen overnight. I think Pastor said it best that, you know, too busy, too many times we want things now. We don't want to go and grow through the process. But it's taught me patience. It's taught me how to deal with adversity. One thing I've learned in this Christian journey is that God is, a test is always around the corner. We're not going to be comfortable too long if our commitment is to continue to grow and to continue to challenge ourselves. I've learned more in my failures and my shortcomings than I've actually learned through my successes. You know, it's not always easy. It's not always going to give you a heads up that trouble or adversity, temptation, whatever it is around the corner. But you have to stay consistent and true to God's word. And it also test your commitment. You know, we as Christians, we say a lot of things. Oh, we're going to get it together. We're going to do better. Thank you, God. You know, you got my attention now, whatever, whatever. But then once things calm down, we go right back to doing the same things we're doing, hanging around with the same people, hanging around, participating in bad habits that we know we shouldn't be doing. But all of those things have helped me. You know, when I came to New Birth and Pastor said, hey, look, you know, I want you to kind of take this thing and do what you want. I said, so now I'm going to have to not wing it. I'm actually have to listen to these songs. You know, Sister Gregory, love her to death. She was texting me songs every week, and I'm sitting like, well, you can't just show up no more and just start, all right, you know, play by ear, figure it out. It's like, you got to start leading the song off. You got to be prepared. But that was a test of my growth and commitment, because the prior church I was at, which was a much smaller church, and I thank God for that opportunity, I was able to get by. But God said, look, I'm going to put you, and I found this out after the fact when I had a talk with the Lord, it's like, I'm going to put you in a different situation. But now those old things you did, you can't do no more. My expectation of you is greater, so you got to practice. You can't just show up on Sunday listening to the song on the way to church, praying that you get it before you pull up. It's like, no, you got to put the work in. You got to be committed. And I was like, well, you know, time. I didn't have enough time. And then God started making it so that I had enough time to listen, to be proactive, to prepare, but it taught me patience. And because of it, I became a better musician. And now I've adopted those characteristics in other parts of my life to say, you know what, it's okay to study. It's okay to put things on hold to take care of your primary responsibility, which is serving God. So even though I'm speaking from a minister of music aspect, those traits and that growth that I adopted just in that one little vessel aspect of my life has transformed other parts of my life, but it started when I got to New Birth. But, you know, it's consistency. Jesus was perfect. God is perfect, and they still are. But we got to understand as Christians that if we think we're going to be perfect, we're not convincing ourselves and we're selling ourselves short. It has to be a consistency race. Don't think you got to get each day perfect and start beating yourself up about it. God wants to see consistency, not perfection. We ain't never going to be perfect. We never going to walk on water, but it's a consistency race. You got to be consistent in what you do and, most importantly, what you say, because that's what we're judged on. We're not judged on what we say. We're judged on what we do and that commitment level. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Dr. G, that's going to do it for us tonight. We have your last comments and close it out in prayer, please.
Sitting there listening to the question and what folks are saying, you know, the thing is, once we accept Christ, we begin our own history with him. And as we go through, it's almost like a book. You know, we could start a book and talk about our life at the beginning of Christ and where we are and all that we go through. But we develop that history, and the Lord allows it to go through because it gives us something to reflect on. It gives us something that when times do get rough, think I heard the caller, you go back, you think about where you were and how God has brought you through. And that ought to be enough encouragement to continue to stay your course. And we pray that, you know, through all of that, through the history, God will continue to guide us along. And as you said, you know, once we get through one level, we go to the next level. That level is going to be worse than the previous level, because that's the way the devil works. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, oh God, for just another evening. Father, we pray that we have learned something. I'm praying for those that did take the time, that did call in. Father, we're praying for those that may call in later. Lord, we pray that we all will learn something about our history that we have with the Lord. We thank you for what we've talked about. We've gone back and looked at the history of Christ and all that he went through. And Lord, we praise you tonight. We thank you that if Christ could go through it, so can we. Oh God, our Father, we pray now that you'll be with us the rest of the week. And whatever your will is come Sunday, I pray that it will be done according to your wishes and glory. Eternal God, we thank you. We praise you. We ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.